Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. Today, Josh Davis will examine the latest headlines that show the stage is being set for the one world system. Bible prophecy, end times, truth. Join Southwest Radio Ministries October 9th through the 11th in Bristol, Virginia. Come hear from top Bible scholars, teachers, and researchers on the mysteries of the Bible, headlines from the end times, and how to build a spiritual war arsenal. 3 days of scripture-based insights and encouragement. Register today at swrc.com. October 9th through the 11th in Bristol, Virginia. Come hear Dr. Larry Spargimino, Dr. Greg Patton, Micah Van Hus, Bill Federer, and more. 9 speakers in all, with 19 sessions over 3 full days. Make plans to be with us at the Prophecy in the News Live Conference, October 9th through the 11th at Exit 7 in Bristol, Virginia. Register today by visiting swrc.com or call 1-800-652-1144. Space is limited, so please register today. swrc.com. Charlie Kirk's killing was evil and demonic. Yet, there are at least 5 ways God is bringing good from this tragedy. Spain's prime minister wants to ban Israel from international sporting competitions. But why? The Australian government has outlawed certain prayers. How does this reveal the spirit of our age? And how are church leaders in these communities responding? Join Josh Davis as he details these important stories on today's Headlines from the End Times.
Greetings, fellow Watchmen on the Wall. On today's Headlines from the End Times, we're going to look at stories that detail how that Australia's Attorney General is trying to ban prayer and how that Spain's Prime Minister wants an international sports ban on Israel. But first, we're going to start with how that God is bringing good out of Charlie Kirk's death. And we welcome you in to this Friday edition of Headlines from the End Times as we share news and information that show how the stage is being set for the biblical end times scenario. We start with Romans 8:28, and this verse, very familiar to many Christians, is a source of encouragement and inspiration as it reminds us that God is working even through the bad times of life, the difficult seasons that we face, to bring about His good ends. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to His purpose. Romans 8:28 tells us. We understand that Charlie Kirk was assassinated in an act of pure evil. And there's little doubt that the premeditated murder was demonically inspired, dear friends. And it was demonically inspired to have a dramatic impact. It certainly did. It certainly did. Equally demonic has been the subsequent outpouring of this vile rhetoric on social media. Even in mainstream media, there were comments that even cheered Kirk's murder and implied, or some even said it outright, that he deserved to die at 31 years old. And you see, friends, when Jesus died on the cross, no one could have imagined good to come out of that horrible, horrible, horrible day. But in God's great plan, friends, He won the greatest victory of all time through what others intended for evil. Only God could bring victory out of what looks like sure and certain defeat. But not all the ripples from Kirk's murder have been evil, have been hate-filled. I believe that we can see God moving mightily in America since September the 10th. Now look at some of these points and be encouraged as I share with you 5 evidences of how God is working in and through this horrible tragedy to bring about good through it, just like Romans 8:28 tells us. The first thing that we witness across our land is that Christians are emboldened. Believers around the world are standing tall. They're sharing their faith in Jesus. You know, I've heard from Christians who said they relied on the voices of people like Charlie Kirk and others. These people would speak God's truth to this generation. They have viral videos or large video platforms or a radio voice or whatever it may be that they're using to get out God's truth. And they said, I was content to sit on the sidelines to support from the sidelines, but now they've realized they can no longer remain silent. They know God's calling them, get off the sidelines, get back into the game yourself. And they are stepping up and speaking up and speaking out in a loving, kind, appropriate way. But yes, they are moving forward with great boldness in the Lord. You see Christians and conservatives in droves who are now donning the shirts that say we are all Charlie Kirk. And things like this is our turning point. And this boldness that we see, a groundswelling of support from people to take a stand. Secondly, we see that the gospel has advanced, and I praise God for that. People are talking about Charlie Kirk's faith more than his politics, and praise be to God for that, dear friends. And I don't know if you saw it or not, but the weekend after Charlie Kirk's passing, his widow, Erica, addressed America. She displayed great strength and confident hope in Jesus while facing the most difficult days of her life. I just cannot imagine all that she is walking through in this season. Unbelievers are witnessing the gospel in motion as believers around the world are sharing their faith in Christ through this tragedy. You see, God is turning this into a gospel moment so that many souls can be saved for eternity. Praise God for that. The third thing that we see happening, how God is working good out of this tragic situation, is that churches are growing. In those remarks that Erica made in that viral video, she encouraged people to join a Bible-believing church and get involved in what God is doing. You see, people are reassessing the brevity of life. And as they watch Charlie Kirk's video clips popping up everywhere, they're looking deeper into their own lives and their own eternity. And I'm glad to see how that people responded by filling churches across America the Sunday following Charlie Kirk's death. Some people went back to church for the first time in years. Some people went for the very first time in their entire lives. And social media was just flooded with testimonies of people who were saved, people who rededicated their lives to the Lord, people who found a spiritual turning point in their lives the Sunday following that tragic event of September 10th. Now, I pray that this isn't just a short-lived emotional response, but I pray that it is providing deep, lasting spiritual transformation in the lives and the hearts of many people. The fourth truth that we see, how God is allowing good to come out of this, is that I believe that Christians are starting to wake up to the real enemy. As we recognize this is spiritual warfare, there is a spiritual battle raging right here, right now, dear friends. And this spiritual warfare behind this evil action is undeniable. I'm glad to see that people are waking up to the real battle raging in this unseen realm, recognizing the enemy is not a political party, the enemy is not a person. Instead, the real enemy, not flesh and blood, but it's the spiritual wickedness of evil forces, and that enemy has shown itself. You know, Ephesians 6 outlines this so well, and it says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness. And we see that that's the real enemy, friends. It's not flesh and blood, but it's these spiritual forces who are, if we can use the word, ministering or influencing the people who are acting in these ways. We understand the demonic roots of what we see happening in our culture today. This whole spirit of our age is a deeply spiritual spirit, a highly spiritualized environment that we find ourselves in. It's not Democrat versus Republican, but it's really this spiritual battle that has come to the forefront in our culture today. And Christians are realizing that aspect of it, perhaps more than I can remember in my lifetime. And I'm so glad to see that. And I pray that Christians will continue to engage in this spiritual battle as Ephesians chapter 6 outlines. How do you do it? Friend, Read Ephesians chapter 6, verses 12 and following, and you will see the armor of God. The weapons of our warfare are mighty, and they're not of this world, but they are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds, and we praise God for that. The fifth and final truth that I think that we can see, how that God is bringing good out of this horrible tragedy, just like Romans 8:28 tells us. And let me just recap these for you before I give you the fifth and final point. Number one, Christians are emboldened. Number two, the gospel has advanced. Number three, the church is growing. Number four, spiritual warfare is recognized. And fifth and lastly, we could be, and I say we could be, approaching a true turning point. You know, instead of rioting in the streets, instead of committing acts of violence, destroying property, many Americans fell to their knees in prayer. They opened their Bibles. They packed the pews in local churches across the nation when they heard about Charlie Kirk's death and in the weeks that have followed since then. His death might have ignited a spiritual spark that could be an answer to the prayers of American Christians for years. And I know many of our listeners, many of you listening to me right now, God has burdened your heart to seek the face of the Lord. And you have been calling out to the Lord for many, many years for a great move of God. And could God be answering some of those prayers through these tragic events that have unfolded? Could we see God turning the tide, as Charlie Kirk's platform was called, Turning Point? And we see that could this inspire that kind of a spiritual turning point for the United States of America, and something that would have ripple effects into the entire world? And wouldn't that be just like God to take a despicably evil event and turn it into something that brings eternal life and light to billions of people around the world? Oh, may God work all of this together for His greatest glory and humanity's greatest good. And I pray to that end, and I know that you, dear friends, have that same heart. And so we seek the face of the Lord together. As we like to say here at Southwest Radio Ministries, God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. Many of you have been seeking the face of God on behalf of this country for many years. I want to encourage you here just briefly. Please keep it up, my fellow watchmen on the wall. Please continue to seek the face of the Lord in prayer. As you read through Ephesians chapter 6 and you get down to the end of the list of the spiritual armor, you see that Paul talks about the weapon of prayer, and I call it a weapon, but you read it in the verse, how that we can take this in prayer and in supplication. He says, pray for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly and speak what I ought to speak. That's Paul's personal prayer request. Pray for me that God would give me the words, and that God would give me the boldness to speak those words, the mystery of the gospel, to make it clear as I ought to speak. And that's been a prayer of my own, and I want to invite you as fellow watchmen on the wall, begin praying that prayer for yourself, so that when that moment comes, you can boldly take your stand on the wall and proclaim the word of God with fresh boldness, with fresh unction, with a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit to enable you to speak these truths in a spirit of love, according to God's perfect plan and God's perfect will. Well, you're joining us for Friday Headlines from the End Times. Let me just remind you quickly that Headlines from the End Times is a weekly feature in every single episode of the Prophecy in the News television show. You can download the SWRC mobile app, and you can access the television show right there. New episodes are released every Sunday on multiple platforms, including SWRC.com, YouTube, Rumble, etc., etc., etc. But the SWRC mobile app is a great way to access that, as well as this Watchman on the Wall daily program. Just go to your mobile app store, type in these four letters, SWRC, download the mobile app right there, and you can watch the Prophecy in the News weekly television show, and you can see and enjoy all the other great content available in the SWRC mobile app. Also, don't forget about Headlines from the End Times in every single issue of the Prophecy in the News magazine. You can visit prophecyinthenews.tv. Again, that's prophecyinthenews.tv. and get a subscription to the Prophecy in the News magazine. Headlines from the end times in every single issue. Tons of rich information that will equip you to understand the signs of the times and also understand what God is doing in the world in the monthly magazine Prophecy in the News. Now, please don't forget, if you're just hearing us for the very first time, we want to send you a free welcome packet. Just reach out to our ministry and say, hey, I'd like to get that free welcome packet. I'm a new listener. Give us a call today and request yours. Our toll-free number is 1-800-652-1144. Again, that's 1-800-652-1144, 1-800-652-1144. Our website, swrc.com, swrc.com. Now let's continue on with our headlines from the end times for this Friday. Spain's prime minister wants an international sports ban for Israel. Now, this story, it comes from an unusual source, at least for prophecy ministries like SWRC, ESPN, of all places. Yes, that's right. Over in Madrid, the Spanish prime minister recently called for Israel to be banned from international sporting events after there was a pro-Palestinian activist disrupted the final stage of the Spanish cycling race in Madrid. So pro-Palestinian protesters caused the prime minister to call for a ban on Israel? That seems totally backwards, but his opinions are politically motivated. Israel's foreign minister responded by calling these comments and calling the person who made the comments an anti-Semite and a liar. There's been growing tensions between these two countries, and it's really escalated in recent months as Spain's government has expressed support for protesters who interrupted several stages of this Spanish cycling race, including recent final stage that took place in Madrid. And why were they protesting at this particular race? Well, there was an Israeli team taking part in this event. Now, speaking to members of his socialist party, Sanchez, that's the prime minister, said that Israel, just like Russia, should be boycotted from international sports events because of its military campaign in Gaza, which has led to the deaths of tens of thousands of civilians in the aftermath of the Hamas-led assaults in October 2023. Now, here's a quote from Spain's prime minister about Israel. Quote, "The sports organization should consider whether it's ethical for Israel to keep participating in international competitions. Why expel Russia after the invasion of Ukraine and not expel Israel after the invasion of Gaza?" End quote. Now, he went on to say, quote, "Until the barbarity ends, neither Russia nor Israel should be in any international competition." End quote. The Israeli invasion of Gaza. Man, that is a real head scratcher, isn't it, dear friends and fellow watchmen on the wall? Why did Israel start fighting against this Hamas terrorist group? Oh yes, the attacks of October 7th. Well, that's conveniently left out of the prime minister's remarks. He's totally trying to rewrite history and sponge that record away from what is happening. He spoke recently after the final stage of the race had to be cut short when protesters threw barriers onto the road, clashed with police near the finish line of this race in the Spanish capital. The protesters were opposing the participation of this Israeli team called Israel Premier Tech in this Grand Tour cycling event. The Spanish authorities say that more than 100,000 people took part in that recent protest. Two people were arrested by police, 22 were injured. Thankfully, nobody was seriously hurt in those protests. Spain's government has already expressed sympathy with the protesters and suggested that Israel Premier Tech team should have withdrawn from this race because of this diplomatic battleground that's taking place. The team did remove its name from its uniforms, but they remained in the race until the end, despite the protesters' call for it to be expelled. Now, the Israeli spokesman criticized Sanchez with a post on X that included a video link to his speech, and he called him an anti-Semite and a liar. And he echoed exactly what I questioned. Did Israel invade Gaza on October 7th, or did the Hamas terror state invade Israel and commit the worst massacre against the Jews since the Holocaust? That's the question from the Israeli spokesman. And I say the exact same thing. Not all of Spain is happy with what the prime minister had to say. In fact, Madrid's mayor also criticized Sanchez and described these events as a sad, sad day for the Spanish capital. We understand that many people around the world continue to hate Israel, and there's a growing hatred for Israel, even in these European nations. We need to keep our eyes on this as the days and weeks emerge. Promised that we would go over to Australia and see that they are reaffirming a ban on prayer. What's that all about? Well, the Australian Attorney General has reaffirmed a ban on prayer aimed at changing sexual orientation. Earlier this month, Michael DeLay, the Attorney General for New South Wales, Australia, reaffirmed the ban on praying over those who are part of the LGBT community. Daly confirmed during a parliamentary committee hearing that praying for or with individuals with the hopes of them changing their sexual orientation or gender is against the law, end quote, directly from him. The Conversion Practices Ban Act 2024, which was established and became law April 4th of this year, it criminalizes all forms of quote-unquote conversion therapies that treat LGBT people as having a disorder, and it sentences lawbreakers to a maximum penalty of 5 years in prison if you try to help someone leave the LGBT lifestyle. And here's a quote from the Premier, Chris Minns, said, "It's intolerable that we have a situation in New South Wales where children can be told something is wrong with them and that they need to be fixed." And so, though this ban doesn't prevent teaching or practicing religion, it prevents individuals from, quote, performing a ritual such as an exorcism or a prayer-based practice to change or suppress someone's sexual orientation or gender identity, end quote. And this includes conversations that parents may have with their children about sexuality. Now, Daly said in April that these practices are, quote, based on a false ideology that there's something wrong with same-sex attracted or gender-diverse people. Nothing could be further from the truth, end quote. And that, dear friends, is where we see what is really going on in this ideology, that they're saying there is nothing wrong. Nothing could be further from the truth. There is absolutely nothing wrong with people who are same-sex attracted or gender-diverse people. And this is the battlefield where the biblical worldview would say, yes, there is. What does the scripture say? What does the Bible clearly teach about these things? That God made us male and female, and that God is the creator. God is the designer. God is the one who has knitted us together in our mother's womb. And he knows what is absolutely best for us. Again, going back to the beginning, Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good. And we know that there are attractions that each of us have that we should not act on. Just because someone has a same-sex attraction doesn't mean they should act on that attraction. We all have attractions that we cannot and should not act on. If I'm attracted to another person, does that excuse me from cheating on my wife if I just say, well, I was just attracted to somebody else? It's not really cheating. I was just following my attractions. No, 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 no. That's despicable. That's ungodly. That's sinful if I act on those attractions and I dwell upon them in my mind. And you see the problems with this line of thinking. When they say nothing could be further from the truth, what is their source of truth? It is certainly not the pages of Scripture. This is the battle that Charlie Kirk was fighting. This is the battle that we continue to fight. Dear friends, this is the battle for truth. What is truth? What is the authority of truth? What is the source of truth? As Bible-believing Christians, as watchmen on the wall, we understand that it is God's Word that is the authority and the ground of the truth. And the Bible tells us that the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. If we let truth be defeated, then we have lost it all, dear friends. We've lost the gospel message. We've lost the reason for existing. But you see, this spiritual battle is a battle over truth. And so we must understand what's at stake. And we've got to pray for our Christian brothers and sisters in Australia who are boldly taking a stand against their government and saying, we've got to obey God rather than man. Some Australians are standing up and saying things like, quote, prayer is at the heart of religious freedom. If somebody asks for prayer to live in line with their faith, it's an extraordinary overreach for the government to make that illegal. And we understand that many churches have responded in New South Wales, Australia, by refusing to comply with this legislation. Several pastors came together and they wrote an open letter to these leaders back in April. And they represented the conservative biblical standpoint on sexuality and gender as they boldly stated that they would not stop speaking out against what they saw as immoral and that they would continue to draw people to the love of Christ that is readily available to all. Their letter stated, quote, it's an inherent part of our calling as Christians to bring the love of Jesus to all people, to those who have been broken by sin, to encourage them to live according to God's good design, and to offer them pastoral help to do so, end quote. Yes, we must obey God rather than men. Dear friends, stand boldly in your faith with the love of God and His heart for the truth.
Stay up to date with the latest headlines with our Prophecy in the News magazine and weekly television program. Subscribe to the Prophecy in the News magazine for the latest insight and analysis of the world around us. And then, tune in to the Prophecy in the News television program to stay informed, be encouraged, and deepen your understanding of God's Word. Prophecy in the News magazine and television program. Learn more by visiting swrc.com. And I want to send a special thank you to everyone who is giving a gift this week and becoming monthly partners, faithful friends. We need to hear from you right now. Your support allows us to produce these programs and publications and to be with you each day. You can give right now by calling 1-800-652-1144 or by going to our website, swrc.com. Lord willing, we'll be back here Monday, ready to once again bring clarity to the chaos. Head into the weekend with the encouragement that God is still on the throne and prayer changes things. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful friends just like you. Please visit our website, swrc.com,